this message has been kind of working on me for a while, and it just kind of, it's like God is reminding me of things that he's done for me, and hopefully it comes out good, because sometimes it goes in your head, but hopefully it goes good. Luke chapter 22, we're going to start out in verses 41 through 45. And if I had a, this is the first time I've actually named a sermon, gave it a title, options. We've got options. Verse 41. He was withdrawn from them about a stone's throw. He knelt down and prayed, saying, Father, if it is your will, take this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done. Then an angel appeared to him from heaven, strengthening him. And being in agony, he prayed more earnestly. Then his sweat became like great drops of blood falling to the ground. When he rose up from prayer and came to his disciples, he found them sleeping from sorrow. Then he said to them, Why do you sleep? Rise and pray, lest you enter into temptation. It's different when you hear it out loud to me. Jesus, the Son of God, is talking to his Father, God, the creator of all things. And he says, not my will. And that gives me a hint that Jesus had his own will also. But his will was to do the will of the Father. You know, each and every single one of us are given free will. We've got an option to do the will of the Father. We can serve ourselves. He was praying. And he was, just got done talking to God. God sent an angel to strengthen him. I believe that's also a picture of God sending people in our lives to help strengthen us. God puts a desire in our hearts. We can be lifted up and strengthened. And once he was strengthened, he immediately went to his disciples and said, I'm going to read it. He said, Why do you sleep? Rise and pray, lest you enter into temptation. I've been out of work for a week, and I've been resting. I've had some medical issues. Everything's straight. I'm getting ready to go back to work tomorrow. But when you're down and out, and I felt myself, I like to get up and I like to go do. And when the doctor tells you to rest, in my opinion, that's a direct order. So I rest. I've been going a little stir crazy. I got a little bit depressed because there was things that needed to get done. I saw my wife doing stuff that I do. I saw my son doing stuff that I do. And I'm like, I feel kind of worthless. But when one person is down, that's why one person can't do it all. God has people in your lives that will lift you up and do the things when you're not able to do those also. So things still do get done regardless of if you're able. Well, I forgot to tell this to you. If anybody wanted to say anything or any question or had to, just raise your hand and we'll kind of do it. The big theme to this whole verses I just read through, Jesus accepted God's plan for salvation. Jesus knew when he came to earth what his mission was. His mission was to ultimately go to the cross, die for our sins, to reunite us all together with God who was lost in the world. So Jesus already knew this. And even though it was hard for him, he still did it for us. That's just powerful. That's powerful words right there. If you would, flip the page over to Luke chapter 23, and we're going to be focusing on verses 13 through 25. And this is the time coming close where Jesus crucified on the cross. And it's a time of Passover. And I reflected on the first Passover and what it meant to the Jewish people, to the Israelites. The first Passover is when they killed the lamb and they cooked it and they took the blood and they spread it on the doorpost. That was a sign to They were God's chosen people. But the angel of death would pass over them. So when you see Jesus' crucifixion coming in the same time frame as Passover feast, it makes me just think about different things, how God made everything happen at one point in time, that the angel of death that passed over the blood, that Jesus Christ shed blood, was to cover our sins, save us from ultimate death, separation from God. So all this being said, into that, it just brings up a lot of feelings and thoughts in my head. I just wanted to share that too. But Luke chapter 23, 13 through 25. Then Pilate, when he had called together the chief priests and rulers and the people, said to them, "You have brought this man to me as one who misleads the people. And indeed, having examined him in your presence, I found no fault in this man concerning those things of which he accused me." And Pilate is referring to Jesus. "No, neither did Herod, for I sent you back to him. And indeed, nothing deserving of death has been done by him. I will therefore chastise him and release him, for it was necessary for him to release one to them at the feast." And they all cried at once, saying, "Away with this man, and release to us Barabbas, who had been thrown into prison for a certain rebellion made in the city, and for murder." Pilate, therefore, wishing to release Jesus, again called out to them, but they shouted, saying, "Crucify him! Crucify him!" Then he said to them the third time, "Why? What evil has he done? I have found no reason for death in him. I will therefore chastise him and let him go." They were insistent, demanding with loud voices that he be crucified. And the voices of these men and of the chief priests prevailed. So Pilate gave sentence that it should be as they requested. He released to them the one they requested, who for rebellion and murder had been thrown into prison. He delivered Jesus to their will. Hold up there real quick. In verses 15 through 23, Pilate attempted to pardon Jesus three times. Three times. The men that were there and the high priest called for his crucifixion. Three times Peter denied Christ after he was arrested. The Israelites and the leaders there, they chose a rebellious man who was a murderer instead of over Jesus. And they were hanging there. When I look at my life and the things that I've done and even the choices up to today, every day, it's a struggle. I can be put in that same position. If I was there, I would hope that I wouldn't say crucify. Hope that I would say no, because he's the Son of God. But I know better because I have done things in my life that I wish I could change. But each and every day when you see something and you stare too long at it, you're like, what am I doing looking at that? You know, am I choosing rebellious and murderous heart over the Son of God? And just this thought's just been going through my head. What am I doing in my daily life that's actually edifying God? I hope that reading this and putting it in my heart, it helps me to choose God instead of this world. Because the world's out there and it's a struggle sometimes. You're trying to do what's right, but the devil's still out there like a roaring lion seeking who he can devour. And I don't want to be devoured. I want to choose Jesus. And moving on, Luke 23, same chapter. We're going to do read verses 32 through 34. There were also two other criminals led with him to be put to death. And when they had come to the place called Calvary, there they crucified him. The criminals, one on the right hand and the other on the left. Then Jesus said, "Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they do." They divided his garments and cast lots, and the people stood looking on. But even the rulers with them sneered, saying, "He saved others, let him save himself, if he is the Christ, the chosen of God." And verses 39 through 43, we're going to talk about that. Then one of the criminals who were hanged blaspheming by him, saying, "If you are the Christ, save yourself and us." But the other answering rebuked him, saying, Do you not even fear God, seeing you are under the same condemnation? And we indeed justly, for we receive the due reward of our deeds, but this man has done nothing wrong. Then he said to Jesus, Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom. And Jesus said to him, Assuredly I say to you, today you will be with me in paradise. We're going to hold up right there. Number three has significance, definitely in the Bible. And I don't know all the meanings or what it really means or all the secrets to it, but there were three crosses. There were three men on the cross. One chose to reject Jesus and blaspheme him. The other knew that he was guilty, and yet asked Jesus to remember me when you come to your kingdom. And Jesus said, Surely I say to you, today you will be with me in paradise. And that speaks volumes to me, that even a man that is sentenced to death, that they deny themselves and admit that they aren't good enough, that Jesus is dying for them. And, of course, this man weren't there for the resurrection, but he believed in Jesus. He said he'd be living in paradise. So, it's being a Christian is definitely, people sometimes look at you funny, because you've got a different different skip in your stride, and they don't understand why some things don't upset you. I guess because we know how our life is going to end up. And when we pass from this life, we're going to be with Jesus in paradise. That's just reassurance. Even though, when, like I said earlier, you don't have anything to overcome, and you overcome nothing. Well, God puts things in our lives, struggles and pains and heartaches, because He uses that to work a great work in us. And it's not easy. We've all been through it. We're all going to go through it some more. Until we're after this life. This is a longer version of what I was planning for the next time to do. Awesome. I've got a little bit more reading, and these verses just kind of tie things in, and they make it seem to fit more smoothly to me. So, if you want to turn it, that's fine. John chapter 14, verses 1 through 6. This is Jesus talking. Verse 1, Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. My Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. Where I go, you know, and the way you know. Thomas said to him, Lord, we do not know where you are going, and how can we know the way? Jesus said to him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except for me. And last scripture that I'm putting on tonight is Matthew 25, verses 31 through 46. When the Son of Man comes in his glory, and all the holy angels with him, then he will sit on the throne of his glory. All the nations will be gathered before him, and he will separate them one from another, as a shepherd divides his sheep from the goats. And he will set the sheep on his right hand, but the goats on the left. Then the king will say to those on his right hand, Come, you blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me food. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. I was a stranger, and you took me in. I was naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came to me. Then the righteous will answer him, saying, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you drink? When did we see you a stranger and take you in, or naked and clothe you? Or when did we see you sick or in prison and come to you? And the king will answer and say to them, Surely I say to you, inasmuch as you did to one of the least of these, my brethren, you did it to me. Then he will also say to those on the left hand, depart from me, you cursed, into the everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry, and you gave me no food. I was thirsty, and you gave me no drink. I was a stranger, and you did not take me in. Naked, and you did not clothe me. Sick and in prison, and you did not visit me. Then they also will answer him, saying, Lord, when did we see you hungry or thirsty, or a stranger, or naked, or sick, or in prison, and did not minister to you? He will answer them, saying, surely I say to you, inasmuch as you did not do it to you, one of the least of these, did not do it to me. These will go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous in the eternal life. Knowing this, knowing these words to be true in my heart, I know that I can accept, not reject, what Jesus Christ has done for me, has done for everybody else. That's something we all have to answer for ourselves. Everybody has a different relationship. God, we're all one body, but we're not all eyes, we're not all minds, we're not all hands, we're not all feet. God is a special purpose in place for everyone here. Everyone that calls him by name. That's all I have tonight. Thank you for being very attentive and patient with me. Thank you. Thank you. Awesome. Well, that's right. It's a common theme. This has been in my heart for over a month, and had an opportunity for it to come to fruition. Sometimes you need a little prodding to get going. And it's just, God's got a seed plant in all of our hearts. Where we water it, tend it, and sort of grow. And I see it in their eyes, and I mean, I don't even watch the news when I go, because they do the crime thing every day at lunch. Well, yeah. I don't want to go in there with a preconceived notion already in judgment, because that's not what I'm looking for. I'm not there to judge. I'm not there for the word. Yes, I know he was. I know he was. That's pretty much all I had in mind. Everybody, yeah, I enjoyed it too. I really did. God is awesome. I love him. I know he loves me. That's awesome. That's very good. It's